At his lab at UC San Diego, Dr. Steve Wagner takes from the lower shelf a clear plexiglass box filled with small bottles. He needs two hands to carefully lift it. The box represents 20 years of work, not just his, but the direction of much of the Alzheimer's research field. His hope and his expectation is that inside the box, inside one of its opaque little bottles, is a jewel, a molecule that will prevent toxic amyloid fragments from sticking together and forming plaques in the brain.
We screened almost 100,000 compounds, and we found one compound that had all of the properties that passed all the tests that were required to move on. And then we hired a team of chemists, and they made almost 1,200 different variants of this initial screening hit.
From 12,000 down to 250 or so finalists. One of Wagner's colleagues is testing the potency of two of them. She's mixing them with neurons to find out which is the safest and which one best reduces a toxic form of amyloid beta, or A-beta as it's called, the stuff that gunks together to form Alzheimer's disease's brain-clogging plaques.
It's kind of like cholesterol. You're lowering something that is a problem, something that forms plaques. They're neuritic plaques in the brain. And so you can think of this long form of amyloid as a sort of bad cholesterol. And being able to selectively eliminate that particular form of amyloid, we believe it is analogous to having something like a statin.
How Wagner's compound works is complicated, but it's worth thinking back to high school science class. Proteins, and tiny proteins called peptides, come in all different sizes and do all sorts of important things in our body and in our cells. They're made up of chains of amino acids. Research shows that when the A-beta peptide is 40 amino acids long, it's okay. It does its thing. A-beta with 40 amino acids works. But when enzymes cut the A-beta peptide to 42 amino acids in length, that's when it turns sticky and becomes toxic. Wagner's compound goes after A-beta 42.
So it selectively removes this toxic form of amyloid beta, which we call a beta 42. And it does it in a way that appears to be tolerable, where we shouldn't see the types of side effects we saw with the earlier first-generation gamma-secretase inhibitors.
Wagner was involved in developing some of those early-tested Alzheimer's drugs. The problem was they cut the production of A-beta completely. The drug trials were stopped after people developed skin cancer and stomach problems. This approach is much more precise.
That was overkill. It was like a sledgehammer. And all you really needed to do was to not let the body make more of this longest form.
It was the nonprofit Cure Alzheimer's Fund that helped get Wagner's drug development program going 4 years ago. Now the effort's largely funded by the National Institutes of Health. Wagner's project is one of just a handful that are being done in a new way. The NIH is putting muscle behind the effort with a 5-year, $1 million grant. NIH also is bringing in consultants from the pharmaceutical field. The idea is to put Wagner's compound on what the NIH calls a fast track.
You still got to prove that compounds are safe. You got to, and you can't do that overnight. It takes time. And with an indication like this that affects so many people, and it is such a difficult disease to diagnose early, this is going to take some time before we really know the impact of these types of molecules.
Once Wagner's final molecule is selected by year's end, the safety and toxicology testing begins in two species of animals, starting with rodents. If it proves safe, the idea is to get the drug into man within a year.
Several million dollars is not out of the question when it comes to just getting the drug to where you can test it in a human. And when you talk about doing some of these clinical trials, then that's a whole other ball game. I mean, 1 to 2 million wouldn't even get you through the front door. So it's a very expensive process. In the long run, if we don't come up with something, our whole healthcare system is going to get bankrupted by this disease. I mean, and people that understand that realize that this is panic mode we're in right now. It's panic mode.
About a 10-minute drive from Wagner's Alzheimer's labs at UCSD is the Salk Institute for Biological Studies, where Professor David Schubert does his work in a much smaller lab with a staff of just a few people. In fact, it was in this lab where Jonas Salk himself worked on the vaccine for polio disease. Here, Schubert has his own Alzheimer's compound. It's called J147. It's based on curcumin, the main ingredient in turmeric, in curry. Schubert says it has the potential to slow Alzheimer's and reverse memory deficits.
It turned out that this compound worked extremely well in behavior, and it turned out to be extremely potent. I mean, it works at very low levels. So I was worried this thing was essentially too potent.
Schubert says the compound appears to be safe, but he has no idea if J147 will ever be tested in humans. It's a funding problem.
If you have a compound that comes out of an academic lab like ours, there's something called the black hole, which is means that there's this disconnect between something we think is very could be potentially useful in the clinic and actually getting funding to put it into the clinic.
Schubert says that previous amyloid drug failures have made it harder to get research dollars.
This is just making it very difficult, the combination of the, you know, the failed clinical trials. The drug companies are basically not willing to put any money or much money into Alzheimer's.
While A-beta remains the focus, Alzheimer's researchers increasingly are pursuing funds to investigate other aspects of the disease. When they do find money for more novel projects, researchers say it's often from nonprofits or private foundations. Federal spending on Alzheimer's research remains at about $500 million a year, a disproportionately low number when compared to other fatal diseases. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran in San Diego.